Weeks later, they've settled into a comfortable routine. During the week, Reese works at his internship and tries not to get killed by his boss, or fuck anything up, and meets Vaughn and Yvette for lunch, where they all commiserate about their jobs over the admittedly pretty decent Hyperion canteen food. Twice, Jack actually makes good on his threat and drops by the computing division on the 8th floor to yell at everybody for their incompetence. Reese always makes sure to stand as far back in the conference room as possible, but somehow Jack always manages to catch his eye and toss him a wink, leaving Reese flustered, fumbling at his comm, and pretending not to see anything. Vaughn and Reese slowly settle into their respective internships, and Vaughn even gets to go home at a normal time with Reese once or twice a week, as opposed to staying in the office late Monday to Friday. The conversation where Reese tells Vaughn that the client is Handsome Jack, and Handsome Jack is the guy Reese went home with, goes something like this. "Bro, have I got news for you. Did you get promoted? Is this why you're treating me to ice cream? Oh man, you are the best bro ever! Come here, I'm gonna give you the biggest bro hug the world has ever seen! No, no, sit down, man. You're gonna want that chair when I tell you the news. Okay, bro, you comfortable? Okay, so, you remember the guy I went home with that night and, puked on? Huh, like I could forget. I already pre-ordered a cake to celebrate the anniversary of that next year, by the way. Vaughn, it's chocolate, don't worry. Ooh, chocolate. Wait, no, stop distracting me with cake. Okay, you're never gonna believe me, but the client Fiona sent me to interview with the 8-year-old. Oh my god, bro, no way. Yes, way. No! Yup. Bro, I actually totally believe you, though. Your luck is just that bad. Ooh, remember when the rack? We don't talk about that. And, okay, wait, no, here's the really unbelievable part. You can't tell anybody this, but the client, is Handsome Jack. At this point, Vaughn starts laughing so hard that Reese gives up and shoves him off the sofa. He also takes back his ice cream in revenge, just because. It's really good ice cream. He doesn't regret anything. The next Saturday, he takes a discreet picture of himself with Jack in the background, sitting at the breakfast bar and yelling into his comm. Vaughn doesn't reply all day, but when Reese gets home, he finds Vaughn packing their stuff into bags and muttering something about finding the next shuttle to a different planet, apparently because Reese, having worked for Jack for 2 weeks already, hasn't convinced Vaughn that Jack isn't gonna kill Reese. Sometimes Reese isn't entirely convinced himself, but, well, he tries not to think about it. But it all worked out, and now Vaughn is the one who goes with him to buy games and puzzles for Angel. Reese is still working up to ask Jack if Vaughn can come along sometime, because he thinks Angel would like that, and Vaughn can definitely keep a secret, but honestly, Jack's just terrifying, so. Friday nights are when he and Vaughn go to Janie's, where Reese has apparently been banned from ordering more than one alcoholic drink a night. Rude! One time, they meet Janie's girlfriend, an intimidatingly stoic woman who apparently works in security, and who gives them both frighteningly suspicious glances, but who also watches Janie with an incredibly soft look in her eyes when Janie isn't looking. She caught Vaughn and Reese staring. They left as quickly as they could. Saturdays, Reese spends the morning hanging out with Vaughn, catching up on their bro gaming time or on work, depending on how the weekdays go, and in the afternoon, he gets into the sleek car that Jack sends and makes his way over. Angel is always enthusiastic and gratifyingly happy to see Reese, and Reese always brings a few games from home for them to play together. He's not really sure what socializing entails, but Angel picks up games incredibly quickly, and she's only gotten more open and affectionate with each week, and he's just happy to spend time with her. Turns out she's generally pretty quiet, but will babble happily on for hours if given the attention. Jack, more often than not, is holed up in his office when Reese is there, but sometimes he comes out and watches them play, announcing his presence with snorts at Reese's expense as he loses to Angel in their games, or, one particularly memorable time, by coming up behind Reese and scaring the crap out of him by blowing into his ear, and then collapsing on the floor, cackling. Angel, who had totally seen Jack coming but hadn't warned Reese, is laughing too, so Reese just glowers at Jack and demands to restart their game. The fourth week, however, Jack pulls Reese aside as he's about to leave. Reese glances past him, but Angel is in the living room, still playing with the 3D puzzle Reese had given her. "Did I do something wrong?" he asks, trepidation coloring his voice. He's still honestly not entirely accustomed to Jack's presence, and the tight grip of Jack's hand around his upper arm isn't helping. "Wrong? Nah, I just wanted to let you know, we're meeting the social services people next Thursday, and I want you there. Jack lets go of Reese's arm and leans against the dining table. Oh, yeah, sure thing. Wait, what about work? Nah, taken care of. Come on, I'm the big boss. Have some faith in me. You can leave at lunch. I'm bringing Angel to her favorite restaurant. Wait in the office lobby, we can go pick her up together. Jack looks Reese up and down and says, long-sufferingly, Please tell me you have something decent to wear. Offended, Reese looks down at his own outfit, a short-sleeved button-down and slacks, coupled with a tie that's neatly tucked in. It seems pretty okay to him, especially in contrast to Jack, who's wearing his regular, ludicrously yellow sweater over sweatpants. What's wrong with my clothes? He protests, gesturing at Jack's outfit. Whenever I'm over, you're always wearing that. Huh, nice try, Pumpkin. I know you've seen me wear other stuff at work before. Anyway, I'm talking about your tie. God, who told you clip-on skinny ties were a good idea? Jack scowls and flicks at Reese's chest. Ow! Reese yelps, rubbing at the smarting sting. Psh, I barely hit you. Don't be a baby. Jack flicks him one more time, grinning at Reese's glare. Okay, see you on Thursday, kiddo. And if I see any more clip-on skinny ties, I'm gonna tie you to the toilet bowl with them. Jack's eyes flick to Reese's wrists before he grabs Reese to turn him around and starts pushing him out of the door. Reese lets himself be pushed, calling out over his shoulder as he goes, Joke's on you, your toilet is awesome and I will happily stay there rent-free, thanks very much, and smiles to himself when the door shuts behind him, cutting off Jack's cackling laughter. Come Thursday, Reese is now the proud owner of the widest fucking tie he can find, tied into an incredibly uncomfortable knot around his neck, courtesy of Vaughn, who had shaken his head and muttered that Reese has a death wish, but helped him anyway. Best bro ever. At lunchtime, he leaves with the rest of his office, but stops at the lobby to wave them off and wait for Jack. He ends up waiting for 15 minutes, and is on the verge of asking the receptionist if Jack has already left, when the elevator doors open and Jack is standing right there. Getting up from the chair he'd been sitting in, he waves awkwardly at Jack, who stalks straight toward Reese when he spots him, a cheerful grin on his face that turns sour when he sees Reese's tie. Very funny, Pumpkin. He scowls at the tie, grabbing it as he strides past Reese to drag him along toward the front doors. Squawking, Reese almost trips over himself trying to follow so he doesn't get choked, and wheezes a bit when Jack finally lets go as they reach the waiting car. Rubbing at his neck, Reese ducks his head and enters the car, apparently not moving fast enough because a booted foot shoves him in before Jack enters as well. Once they're both in and the car has started, Jack turns to Reese to glare at his tie. Regretting the impulse that had led him to try to be funny, Reese digs around for the spare tie in his pocket. I brought a normal one. It was a joke. Ha ha. He trails off, shrinking back into the plush seats. To his surprise, the glare disappears and Jack starts laughing, a full-bellied, knee-slapping laugh that makes him jostle into Reese. Oh my god, Reese, you are my favorite person. Nah, keep the tie on. It'll give Angel a laugh. Chuckling, Jack takes the spare tie, rolls the car window down, and makes to throw it out. My tie! Reese yelps, leaning across Jack to try to grab it back. Unfortunately, when trying to reach for the tie, he overbalances and slams his hand down on the nearest surface to try to catch himself before he falls onto his boss's lap. Even more unfortunately, the nearest surface that his robotic hand lands on is his boss's lap. About the only saving grace he has is that he didn't hit anything, delicate, but this means he ends up with a hand on Jack's thigh, half over him, with his other hand tangled in the same tie Jack's holding. Freezing, he glances down to see Jack staring at him, an expression somewhere between the laughter from earlier and something else. They stay there, eyes locked, for a long moment. The wind whipping in from the open window tosses Jack's wavy hair around, and Reese can feel his own hair coming loose from where he'd carefully gelled it into place this morning. His heart is thudding so hard, he wonders if Jack can feel it. Then the car makes a turn, and Reese is jolted back into his seat, tie in hand. Clearing his throat and looking away, he settles himself more comfortably into the seat and rolls his tie up to put back into his pocket. Beside him, Jack is suspiciously quiet. And Reese tries to get a surreptitious glance over to see his expression, but he can feel Jack's eyes on him and doesn't dare turn too much. Finally, Jack snorts and says, Change your tie after lunch. The social services people have, like, zero sense of humor. And turns away, to Reese's relief. The car pauses outside the apartment, and an excited Angel is ushered into the car by a large, grizzled man who nods at Jack, gives Reese a disinterested glance over, and waves goodbye to Angel, before gently closing the door after her, pausing to nod seriously when she chirps, "Bye, Wilhelm!" Angel crawls over Jack to make herself comfortable between Jack and Reese answers her questions about his tie with only mild mortification. As they talk, he glances behind Angel to Jack, but Jack seems content to page through the files on his comm, contributing only a snide comment or two to their conversation. When they reach the restaurant, the entire place is empty, and at Reese's questioning look, Jack nods significantly down at Angel, who's clinging onto Jack's hand and enthusiastically looking around the empty restaurant. Understanding dawns on Reese, along with a small pang of sadness. Nevertheless, Angel seems to be genuinely excited about being in a place that isn't home, and he covers up the sadness with excitement to match hers. Lunch, served by a maitre d' whose eyes slide over Reese and Angel with professional disinterest, is delicious, way beyond the kind of food Reese normally eats, and he eats ravenously. Angel, too, eats with an appetite that belies her small size, but Jack barely touches his own food, instead looking between the two of them with amusement. After lunch, they head out to the lobby to wait for the car. Reese absently rubs at his stomach, enjoying the satisfying feeling of being too full on really good food. Ahead of him, Jack is crouching down to examine a potted plant that Angel's pointed at, nodding seriously in answer to her words. Watching them, Reese thinks to himself that it's almost kind of cute, the way Jack is with his daughter. Which is, of course, when Jack stands up to kick the plant over, and both father and daughter crouch down to poke in the overturned dirt. Rolling his eyes, Reese joins them, taking out the replacement tie. Slinging it over his shoulder, he undoes the tie he's wearing and starts tying on the new one, only to remember that he still doesn't know how to tie a tie. He fumbles at the tie for a while, but his best attempt only produces a wonky, lopsided thing. Giving up, he straightens it as best he can, and crouches down to see what Angel and Jack are poking at. "Reese, look, worms!" Angel excitedly holds up a, "Yep, that's a worm, all right." Reese makes a face at the wriggling thing between her fingers, and she giggles before placing it carefully back into the dirt to join its wriggly brethren, watching them with fascination. "What happened to your tie?" Jack reaches over with a dirt-smudged hand to poke at Reese's chest. Scowling, Reese brushes the dirt off his tie and stands back up. "You're the one who told me to change ties," he says, rubbing ineffectively at a particularly stubborn spot. Standing up, Jack grins gleefully before planting his palm squarely on Reese's chest and smearing the dirt all over. Yelping, Reese stumbles back and falls onto his butt. "Yeah, nah, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about that mangled knot. Nobody ever taught you how to tie one? That is why you wear clip-ons? God, I'm embarrassed just thinking about your life." Jack brushes the dirt off his hands over Reese's body and then offers Reese a, now clean, hand up half-heartedly, which Reese ignores pointedly to get up on his own. "Oh my God, my shirt!" Reese groans, giving up on trying to brush the smeared dirt off and glaring at Jack. "Seriously? Ha, what's the big deal? You can just borrow one of mine later. Seriously, stop avoiding the question. Do you just not know how to tie a tie?" Jack peers at Reese's tie in consternation. "Even Angel knows how to, ain't that right, sweetheart?" Angel nods, standing up too, and reaching forward with a, thankfully clean, hands to wiggle her fingers at Reese's neck. "You're too tall, Reese." He obliges, stooping down so she could reach and redo his tie for him, which she does with nimble speed. "Wow, thanks, Angel." He fingers the now neat knot at his tie and offers her a high five in gratitude, which she happily returns. Jack decides to interrupt their moment of friendship by rolling his eyes and shoving them out of the lobby toward the waiting car. They make a detour past the penthouse to get Reese a new shirt, despite Reese's protest that he can just button up his jacket, and they're soon on their way toward the meeting. As they drive along, Reese fiddles with the cuffs around his wrists. He and Jack are around the same height, but Jack's a lot broader, and the shirt's really loose around his shoulders and arms. When he looks up, feeling eyes on him, he catches Jack's gaze, heavy and contemplative, on the exposed skin of his neck. Reese flushes, remembering the massive hickey that had been there for almost an entire week, and who put it there, and looks away, trying to ignore the sudden pounding of his heart. Fortunately, that's when the car pulls to a stop outside the social services center, and Jack breaks his gaze off to open the door for them. They make their way into a meeting room, where two people are already waiting. Jack nods dismissively at them before releasing Angel's hand and flinging himself into one of the dinky chairs in the room. Reese lingers in the doorway, unsure of where he's supposed to go. Sit beside Jack? Go say hi to the social services people like Angel is doing? His decision is made for him when one of them comes forward to shake his hand, a red-haired woman with a firm handshake and an intense gaze. Hi, Lilith. Nice to meet you. You're the tutor Jack hired? Her voice is cool, and so is her gaze, when she flicks a glance over at where Jack sprawled comfortably over his chair, watching them. Yeah, I'm Reese, Angel's, tutor. Reese wants to wince at the lie, because if anything, Angel's the one teaching him stuff, but Jack's reminder in the car before they came up was very clear. Nodding, Lilith turns back to where Angel is now playing... Slappy Hands? Yep, that's it. She's playing Slappy Hands with the other social services officer, a huge man, buffer than Vaughn, who's crouched down to play with her. Reese is so fired. Turning, he tries to mouth an "I'm so sorry" at Jack, but Jack only gives him a puzzled look before gesturing for Reese to sit beside him. They sit there for the hour-long session, watching as Angel plays with the huge officer and cheerfully answers Lilith's questions. Reese desperately hopes that they find everything satisfactory, not just for his job's sake, but also because the few other times Jack mentions the social services people, usually because they've called demanding he bring Angel by for a checkup, he's always been incredibly cranky. Reese suspects some kind of past feud or that they have something over Jack, because, one, how did they even know Angel existed? There's literally no mention of her out on the comm broadcast, and Reese had checked very thoroughly. Two, it doesn't seem at all like Jack to acquiesce to any demands, even if his acquiescence is with ill grace. The hour passes without incident, however, and at the end of it, Jack gestures for Reese to stay in the room with Angel while he and the social services officers leave to discuss matters. Reese very willingly does so, glancing between Jack's tense shoulders and Lilith's hard gaze at Jack. Not 10 minutes later, Lilith reopens the door to wave them out, the irritated frown on her face melting away as she smiles at Angel with genuine fondness. Hey, cutie, we're all done over here. Thanks for coming over and for indulging Roland's Slappy Hands obsession. She gives Angel a wink, making Angel dissolve into giggles. Oh, and here's an early birthday present. Your birthday's next week, right? She takes her arm out from behind her back to give Angel a floppy stuffed rabbit with a blue ribbon, which Angel accepts with a small gasp. Thank you, Lilith! She darts forward to give Lilith a quick hug before letting go, looking pleased and self-conscious about it. Lilith ruffles her hair and gives the bunny a pat on the head before straightening up. She gives Reese a fleeting smile marginally less chilly than the one she'd given him earlier, before pointing them toward the elevator where Jack's waiting, a thunderous look on his face. Taking Angel's hand, Reese makes his way over. Daddy, look what Lilith gave me! Angel waves the bunny in the air excitedly, thrusting it into Jack's face when she reaches him. That's very nice, sweetheart. Come on, Daddy's gotta get back to work. I'll drop you off at home so you and Bunny can get to know each other, okay? Jack absently pats the bunny, pushing it away from his face. Reese watches as Jack exchanges one last glare with Lilith before the doors close, and they head down. Angel spins the car ride back, humming and zooming the rabbit around, explaining to her how the car works and why the air is still around them even though they're moving, and how she's gonna digistruct the most awesome bunny-sized house for Bunny to live in. Her cheerful mood is a stark contrast to Jack, who sits in his seat like a mini thundercloud of doom, gazing out of the window with a dark look in his eyes. Reese, on Angel's other side, plays along with Angel, but he tries to do it as unobtrusively as possible, glancing over at Jack every once in a while to check. When they reach the penthouse, Angel climbs out to a waiting Wilhelm with a parting hug from Reese and a kiss from Jack, leaving Reese sitting alone in the car with an angry boss. I can get out here and take a taxi back if you want me to? He suggests, wilting when Jack just turns to give him an incredibly unimpressed look. He fidgets mutely for a while, until the silence is thankfully broken by Jack shaking himself and speaking up. I'm going back to the office. You can go back with me or go home. The car will take you back after I get out. Giving Reese a lingering look, he adds, Good work today, by the way. Don't think those jerk faces have anything to complain about, so good work. I'll go back to the office with you, Reese offers, relieved when Jack merely nods in response. Reese takes his leave of Jack when the office elevator reaches the 8th floor with a sigh of relief. Jack is generally a really intimidating person to be around, but his loud and gleeful sadism is a lot easier to deal with than when he's all quiet and thunderous. Rubbing his face with only slightly trembling hands, he shakes off the lingering trepidation from their silent car ride and goes back to work. The following Monday, Reese brings a present for Angel to work with him. The Saturday after the meeting with Lilith and Roland, where Jack had thankfully gone back to his normal, jovial self, he checked with Jack to find out that, yes indeed, Monday was the day Angel would turn 9. So when work ends on Monday, he makes his way over to the penthouse, present in hand. When he knocks at the penthouse door, however, there's no reply, which is weird because, as far as he knows, Angel is almost always at home, even if Jack isn't. Frowning, he knocks again, then tries the door comm. Still no reply. An edge of worry creeps into his mind. It's not like Jack doesn't have enemies. Just last week, 2 employees had been found out to be spies from the old Atlas Corporation, trying to rebuild after Hyperion had taken over several years back. Jack had had them brought to his office, where he'd shot them in their legs and then had them airlocked. The live screening of the entire thing had played on every single Hyperion common screen for the rest of the day, along with a short clip of Jack grinning into the camera and saying, "That's what happens to spies, traitors, and people who don't flush after using the toilet, kiddos." He knocks on the door some more before it occurs to him that the comm Jack gave him has Jack's personal number, and then he spends another few minutes wondering if this would be an appropriate time to use it. Finally, he decides to just call it, and the nervous trepidation in his gut dissolves when the comm is picked up instantly and Jack's voice says, "Reese, what's up, kitten? Oh, Angel says hi, by the way." Relieved, he leans against the door and replies, "Please don't call me that, Jack. Anyway, sorry for calling your personal comm. I was just dropping by to give Angel her present, but nobody was home and I was worried. She's with you, though, so I guess I'll just bring her present on Saturday or something. Oh, help me wish her happy birthday, please." The comm crackles for a bit before a screen pops up with Jack's face on it, making him jump.
"Aha, the video thing works. Nice angle, pumpkin. I can really see way up your nostrils from here."
Jack's face on the screen sniggers obnoxiously. Reese grimaces and moves the comm higher up.
"Yeah, that's better. Gotta get a nice angle of that pretty face of yours."
Jack winks, and behind him, Angel pops up over his shoulder to wave at Reese excitedly.
"Hi, Reese, we're at the zoo. Come join us."
Waving back to Angel, who gets distracted by something off-screen and runs off toward it, Reese asks, "Wait, how did you get the comm to do a live screen? I thought R&D was still working on it."
"Nah, this model should be going into production later this year. You just happen to have a very generous and magnanimous boss. Wait, have you seriously not checked the comm out yet? I gave it to you weeks ago."
Jack frowns, and Reese offers an apologetic shrug.
"Yeah, anyway, just come on down. Angel wants you to be here. Christ knows why, since we've already seen a whole bunch of monkeys and giraffes. Ugh. Sweetheart, come on, you gotta admit that was funny. Okay, see you in a bit, Cupcake. Car's already on its way over."
The screen flickers off before Reese even gets to reply, leaving him blinking bemusedly at the comm. The zoo, when he arrives at it, is empty, which confuses Reese for a second until he remembers the empty restaurant. "Right," he mutters to himself, as he's waved through the gates by heavily armed guards who kindly point him toward where Jack and Angel presumably are. Wandering through the empty streets of the zoo, he gazes around at the enclosures in fascination. The last time he'd been to the zoo was back when he was a kid, ages ago. There are a lot more animals now, some he'd never even seen before, including a few that seem to be a result of Hyperion slag experimentation. Those he tries to avoid, mostly because the smell of slag makes him want to throw up. He eventually hears splashing sounds and Angel's laughter and wanders over in that direction, still marveling at all the animals. The animal enclosures eventually taper off into a recreation area, and the splashing sound leads him to a massive pool, complete with slides that twist around each other, or go straight down, and one particularly massive monster that starts so far up Reese cringes just thinking about going on it. He spots Angel and Jack in the shallow end of the pool and goes over. Angel's in a cute swimsuit that's not a terrible shade of yellow, so he thinks she probably chose it herself. Jack, on the other hand, is in a predictably ridiculously bright yellow pair of trunks and... nothing else. Gulping, Reese averts his eyes from the broad expanse of chest and the hair tapering down, trying to focus on the ugly yellow shade of the swim trunks instead. "Happy birthday, Angel," he calls out as he reaches them. Angel immediately spins around and makes her way over. "Oh, here, I got you something. Well, it's from Vaughn, too. He helped me find those cards from last week for you, and he helped me find this present, too. He says happy birthday, by the way. Don't tell your dad Vaughn knows about you, though." he adds, uncomfortably aware of Jack's shirtless presence wading up toward them. She immediately nods and places a finger over her lips, eyes fixed on the present with bright curiosity.
"Bumpkin, you made it!"
Jack hollers, coming up behind Angel and scooping her up and out of the water. She shrieks and laughs, kicking her feet, until Jack tosses her back into the pool, whereupon she emerges, delight written all over her face.
"Daddy again!"
She clambers up Jack's torso with the help of Jack's indulgently raised arms. When she's clinging up on Jack's back, she pauses to wave at Reese.
"Why aren't you joining us, Reese? Come on, the water's really nice, and Daddy can throw you too, it's really fun!"
She splashes water toward Reese with her feet, grinning at him from over Jack's shoulder.
"Yeah, come on, Cupcake, I promise I'll be gentle when I throw you."
Jack winks and maneuvers Angel around so he can toss her, legs flailing and shrieking, back into the water. Reese doesn't miss the barely there pause, and it takes nearly all his willpower to suppress his blush.
Sorry, Angel, I didn't bring any swimwear. I'll watch you guys from here with your present."
He turns to walk toward where there's a pile of clothes, recognizably Jack's from the familiar jacket and vest, to place Angel's present down.
"Nuh-uh, Pumpkin, don't think you're getting out of this."
Reese whirls around at the gleeful voice, only to get caught up by Jack grabbing him around the middle and heaving him over his shoulder. Squawking, he drops the present to clutch desperately at Jack's back.
"Oh my God, Jack, no! Angel, help me!" he yells, clinging on for dear life as Jack, oh God, no,
Jack jogs over to the deep end of the pool, casually hoisting Reese over his shoulder like it's no big deal.
"Angel, ignore the nerd and take his comm out of his pocket."
Jack casually overrides his pleas for help with a shout over his shoulder, one hand going up to smack Reese's butt to shush him. Trotting up behind them, Angel deftly slips Reese's comms and other tech out of his pockets, fending off Reese's pleas and clutches with giggles.
"Jack, no, please, I don't have a change of clothes, don't do, oh my—"
He flies into the pool, landing with a massive splash. He surfaces to the sound of Jack's cackling and whooping and Angel's cheering.
"Very funny, guys, oh man, my hair."
He mournfully runs his hands through his hair, trying to get it back into place, before giving up and paddling over to the side of the pool to heave himself out. Only to embarrass himself as his arms fail him and he slips right back into the pool, accompanied by the sounds of Jack's renewed laughter.
"You are the worst,"
Reese moans as he struggles and finally manages to get himself out and turns to glare at them. Angel grins wickedly, an expression that he's very definitely seen on Jack's face before, and gives him two thumbs up. Jack is suspiciously silent, and Reese flushes when he realizes that Jack's blatantly ogling at the way his wet clothes are clinging to his chest and thighs. Distracting himself, he turns to Angel and points at her, saying,
"Angel, you have 10 seconds to run,"
before he launches himself at her, giving his best evil laughter. She turns and flees, shrieking, but he has the advantage of longer legs and soon catches up. Grabbing her, he picks her up and spins her around in a circle before setting her down.
"Nah, who am I kidding? You're too cute to throw into the water."
He smirks at the pout on her face.
"Wanna go on the slides instead?"
"Yes!" Angel's pout brightens into a beaming smile, and she grabs him by the hand, pulling him toward the slides. As they go, she calls behind her, "Daddy, come on, we're going on the slides!" From behind, they hear Jack's unhurried footsteps and his response.
"Yeah, yeah, I'll catch up."
When they're all exhausted after multiple rounds of going down the slides, they collapse at one of the pavilions beside the swimming pool, Angel flopping onto her father's stomach. Reese eases himself down to sit beside them, pleasantly tired from all the climbing and running around.
"Hey, Angel, sweetheart, you want to go one more round to say bye to the animals before we go to dinner?"
Jack's voice is low and content, and one hand absently strokes through Angel's hair.
"Nibbit, please?"
she mumbles, clearly half asleep.
"Sure thing, sweetheart."
Jack continues stroking Angel's hair until she dozes off, soft breaths puffing out to disturb the strands of hair that have fallen over her face. Reese watches as Jack looks down at his daughter with an unspeakably fond expression on his face, so at odds with the normal expressions of rage, murder, and gleeful cruelty that are usually there. Occasionally, Reese kind of wonders if Jack really does love his daughter. For all that he's undoubtedly proud of her, he sometimes talks about her like she's a product or something proprietary in his tone. Seeing the way he is with her right now, though, and thinking back on the multiple attempts on Jack's life as eagerly recounted on the news, Reese thinks that maybe he understands why Jack would think it necessary to keep her hidden from everybody, to keep this part of himself protected. Not that he agrees with it, of course, but he thinks he can understand it, just a little bit. His musings are interrupted when Jack turns his head to meet his gaze, the fond expression turning into something more casual and calculating. "It ain't polite to stare, kitten." Jack's voice is soft, but the look in his eyes isn't. Swallowing, Reese doesn't look away and says, "I was just wondering if I could borrow some clothes or something to go home in. It's getting kind of cold with these on." He plucks at the sodden clothing clinging to him. "I don't know," Jack says, looking him up and down. "I kind of like the look on you," he finishes, giving him a lewd grin. "Ha, funny," Reese snorts, not wanting to acknowledge the many stares Jack had given him. He thanks his lucky stars that his self-control had held out so far, and he hadn't jerked off while thinking about Jack, because it would be really hard to meet his eyes right now if he had. "What? You're a good-looking guy, Reese. You gotta own that kind of thing, you know?" Jack gestures at himself and raises an eyebrow at Reese. "Right. Not sure I want to catch a cold trying to own that kind of thing, though," Reese mutters, before stumbling to his feet and walking over to the pile of clothes where his comms are, intending to call Vaughn or Fiona or someone and ask them to bring him a change of clothes. "Just take my sweater. You look really stupid just wearing my shirt," Jack whispers loudly at him, clearly not wanting to wake Angel up just yet. Nodding gratefully, Reese picks up the yellow sweater lying underneath the jacket and starts taking off his own soggy shirt. Then he remembers that Jack is behind him, and, trying to be casual about it, he drops his hands and walks over to a different pavilion to change, stoically ignoring the sniggers coming from Jack's direction. When he emerges again, it's in still soggy slacks, but at least his upper half is dry and clothed in a seriously eye-watering shade of yellow. Rumor had it that before Jack, Hyperion's official colors had been red and black, but now were yellow because Jack liked the color. Reese wonders, not for the first time, if Jack's colorblind or something, because seriously. He goes back to where Jack and Angel are, walking a little uncomfortably from the wet tightness of his slacks. Jack eyes the way he walks in with curiosity. "Everything okay in your pants, kitten?" "Yeah, they're a little hard to walk in when wet, but it's fine. I can call my friends and ask them to bring me a change of clothes and return your sweater to you or something." Reese adjusts his pants again, wincing as they rub over his thighs too hard. "Well, it's your lucky day, pumpkin. I actually wore boxers today, so you can just go ahead and borrow them, as long as your dick isn't, like, gross or anything." Jack waggles his eyebrows at Reese meaningfully. Reese makes a face back at him. "What, you're going to go for dinner with Angel without wearing any underwear?" "Oh, sweet cheeks, what did you think I wore under those sweatpants at home?" Jack's face is gleeful, and Reese can't help it. He flushes at the thought, making Jack's grin grow even wider. "Seriously, just wear them. And what do you mean I'm going for dinner with Angel? I'm going for dinner with Angel and you. You're coming along too, Cupcake." Jack points at Reese, and then the pile of clothes accusatorily. Reese wrinkles his nose at Jack. "Wait, you want me to join you guys for dinner? Wearing your sweater and your boxers? I'm not sure that would be appropriate, honestly." "Psh, pumpkin." Jack waves a hand lazily in the air. "The first time we met, you had your hand down my pants in, like, 10 minutes, and now you want to talk about appropriate? Seriously?" Scowling, Reese says, "We don't talk about that." Jack sniggers, then looks down at where Angel's slowly beginning to wake up. "Just go get decent, or rather, not so decent. I'ma go get Angel changed." Giving up, but secretly kind of screaming inside at the thought of wearing Jack's underwear, Reese goes and picks up the, seriously, yellow and white striped boxers. He ducks into the other pavilion to strip out of his slacks and stands there for a while in his wet briefs, contemplating whether or not he wants to wear wet underwear or go commando beneath Jack's boxers. It's not much of a choice, really, hygienically speaking, but part of him is just thinking, if I wore these, would it be like dick-touching via proximity? That's when Jack's head pops in through the curtain of the pavilion and gives him the fright of his life. "I didn't give you permission to jerk off over my boxers, you know," Jack drawls, tone casual, but his eyes linger on Reese's bare legs and the briefs peeking out from under the sweater. Mortified, Reese pulls the sweater down as far as he dares without stretching the fabric. "No, why would you do that? I was enjoying the view," Jack pouts, and steps fully into the pavilion, dropping the clothes in his hands to grab Reese's wrists and move them away from the sweater. They stand there for an instant, so close that Reese can feel the heat pouring off Jack's bare chest, matched by the heat in the large, warm hands encircling his wrists. Fortunately for Reese's dignity, Angel's voice comes calling into the pavilion, and Jack relinquishes his hold on Reese's wrist slowly.
"Daddy? Reese? I'm done. Can we go eat now?"
Her head pops into the pavilion, and she looks at the barely existent space between them with interest.
"Yeah, don't worry, sweetheart. Give us a few minutes to get changed, all right?"
Jack turns and gently scoots her out.
"Okay, but no kissing before dinner."
She snickers and lets herself be pushed out.
Kissing... what?
Reese fumbles with the boxers in his hands.
"She's 8, well, 9 now, not stupid,"
Jack comments before turning back and shucking his trunks, shamelessly keeping eye contact with Reese as he does so.
"Oh my god,"
Reese mutters to himself before turning and pulling Jack's boxers up to cover his wet briefs, ignoring Jack's laughter behind him.
"Uh-uh, kitten."
Reese jumps when Jack's voice ghosts right into his ear, but Jack's hands landing on his hips make him freeze up.
"Much as I like the visual of you in my underwear, I think I'd like it better if you weren't wearing anything under it, you know?"
Jack's warm hands slide slowly down Reese's hips, thumbs hooking into the waistband of both the boxers and the wet briefs to tug them down as well. There's a surreal feel to the moment, standing there in Jack's sweater with Jack's hands inching his briefs down, and Jack himself standing naked and warm and very close behind Reese. But when the briefs go low enough that there's a very real possibility of his dick getting exposed, his instincts finally kick back in and he jumps away from Jack's hands, spinning around to face him. He's flushed, he can feel it in how his face and neck are burning, and he doesn't even want to think about what he must look like to Jack right now. He desperately hopes that the edge of the sweater covers the half-chub he's got going on. Jack, on the other hand, looks perfectly composed. The only indications that he might be in any way compromised is in how his eyes are dilated to the point where there's barely any blue or green left, and the... Reese tries really hard not to look at it directly, but... yep, that's definitely an erection there.
"Where are my boxers, kitten? And only my boxers. We're continuing this conversation later."
Jack's voice is rough and low, catching in all the best ways on Reese's heightened nerves. Mutely, Reese nods, hastily stripping his briefs off and pulling Jack's boxers up before fleeing from the pavilion, joining Angel where she's poking curiously at the present Reese left beside the pool. His own erection is thankfully subsided by the time he reaches her, and he slides into the seat next to hers with a relieved sigh.
"Are you and my daddy dating?" Angel asks so casually that it takes Reese a long moment to actually hear what she's saying.
"Ha, ha, ha, why would you think that? Oh, how about I show you your present?"
Reese reaches over to undo the wrapping, and she thankfully drops the subject to watch as Reese explains the gift. It's a diary. Vaughn had been the one to find it, a small blue tablet that he helps Angel program to unlock to a scan of her eye. Then he shows her the really cool part, designed by him, naturally. There's 2 levels of access to the diary's entries, the first level unlocked by her eye scan and a password, and the second level accessible only through a specific set of input and a 3D puzzle that's generated anew with every attempt to access it. He had the feeling that Jack probably wouldn't like it if he knew what he was doing, but he's also really sure that Angel needs her own space, something that she rarely gets under Jack's constant supervision, both in person and via his guards when he's at work. As expected, Angel is immediately intrigued by the thought of having something private to herself, and Reese crosses his fingers that Jack will be satisfied with the shiny unicorn on the cover and the mildly challenging but entirely breakable barriers to the first set of entries, and not look any further. He glances around, making sure that Jack is still doing whatever he is in the pavilion. Wow, he really hopes Jack isn't jacking off inside there, then bends down to whisper to Angel.
"It's not that I think you need to hide anything from your dad or whatever, it's just, you know, everybody needs a place to put their thoughts down where nobody else will see, right?"
He's suddenly regretting ever getting her this present. Jack's CEO of the company that pretty much owns the entire planet, and other planets besides. Who is Reese, a lowly intern/babysitter, to interfere in Jack's parenting? But then Angel looks up at him with a look in her eyes that belies her 9 years, and says, equally quietly and with an intensity that would have done her father proud, or, considering the topic, maybe not, "Jack won't ever see the real present, or understand it. Thank you, Reese." Reese can only nod mutely in response to that, and they wait in comfortable silence for Jack to come back out. Dinner, once again at an empty restaurant, is a bizarre affair. Angel, now clutching her diary in a plush scythed toy, courtesy of the zoo's gift shop, solemnly presides over the table. Jack, who didn't even bother buttoning up his white shirt or wearing his vest and jacket, sits bare-chested at her right hand, obligingly handing her various forks and knives for her to saw at the massive crabworm claw lying on the table. Sitting on Angel's left in only a sweater and boxers, helping to hold the claw down while Angel hacks at it, Rhys wonders where his life took such a strange turn. Eventually, Angel manages to prize open the claw to reveal the meat inside, eliciting cheers from Jack and Rhys, and they get to eating what the restaurant had assured them was a specially prepared delicacy. 2 seconds in, Jack lets the meat drop out of his mouth, face twisted in disgust. Beside him, Angel is gamely chewing on, eyes almost crossed with the effort of not following her father's example. Looking at them both, Rhys says, "Oh, thank God," and pushes his plate as far away from him as possible.
"Daddy, can we get pizza instead?"
Angel says plaintively, once she's proven herself stronger than both Jack and Rhys and actually swallowed the revolting thing. "God, yes. Angel, sweetheart, you have the best ideas. Unlike the owner of this place, believe me, this moron ain't gonna be having any ideas anytime soon." Jack snarls, flinging himself away from the table and the claw and calling for the car. So dinner ends up actually being pizza eaten in the living room of the penthouse, with Angel and Jack competing to see who can roll up their pizza slices to put in their mouths the fastest, and Rhys watching on in horrified disgust. The view of the unfettered stars from the balcony beside the living room and the muted white noise coming from the massive screen playing the news makes the entire thing seem comfortable, familiar in a way that aches, because Rhys knows that this is an incredible and rare opportunity to be able to watch Jack and Angel like this. It doesn't take long before Angel starts drooping over her scythed toy, a slice of pizza still half-finished in her hand. When Rhys quietly suggests that she'd be more comfortable in her own bed, she wakes up enough to scowl at him, finish her pizza determinedly, and trail off to brush her teeth. She soon comes back out, washed and yawning, to squeeze in under Jack's arm and stay there, head nodding, while Rhys and Jack talk about work stuff, until she eventually slumps over to snore gently on Jack's chest. Rhys watches Jack watch her for a while, before averting his eyes and offering to clean up the place while Jack puts her to bed. Jack nods, gently picking her up and standing to carry her to her room. Left alone in the living room, Rhys shuts the massive screen off with some fumbling. Whoever designed the control buttons for this screen was a sadist. Rhys was about half convinced it was Jack himself, and gets to putting away the remaining pizza and wiping the table down. When he's done wrestling the boxes into the garbage disposal, he turns around, wondering if he should go say goodnight to Angel, only to jump when he realizes that Jack is leaning against the breakfast bar with his arms crossed, watching him. "Hey, I didn't realize you were there. Angel asleep?" he asks, keeping his voice low. Jack nods, eyes still fixed on Rhys. Not really sure what to make of Jack's uncharacteristic silence, but putting it up to Angel being asleep and Jack not wanting to wake her up, Rhys says, I guess I'll get out of your hair then. Oh, may I borrow some clothes to go home in? I forgot to take my clothes out to dry before dinner, so they're still kind of wet and weird smelling." He wrinkles his nose at the plastic bag sitting on the breakfast bar next to Jack. A strange, almost irritated look crosses Jack's face, but it soon disappears and Jack nods, turning toward the door to his room and beckoning for Rhys to follow. Rhys pads along after Jack, intrigued at the possibility of getting to see Jack's room. Turns out the door isn't directly to his room, but instead leads to a short corridor that curves to the left and opens up into a bedroom. Along the corridor, there are other doors, but they're all closed, and he looks at them with curiosity. Jack opens one of the closed doors, revealing a large closet, and disappears into it for a while before emerging with a button-down and a pair of loose shorts, which he pushes into Rhys's hands. "Oh, thanks, Rhys looks around, trying to avoid Jack's unsettling stare. "Can you help me unlock the door to the bathroom? Gotta go change somewhere, am I right?" He trails off uncertainly. "You could always just change here," Jack suggests in a tone that's very much not a suggestion. "Why the sudden shyness, kitten?" "No, I'm not." Rhys feels the beginning of a blush creep up his neck. "I'm perfectly comfortable in my own body, thanks very much." Scowling to try to keep the blush at bay, he turns around and strips the sweater off, leaving him standing in only Jack's boxers, and pulls on the shirt Jack gave him. He doesn't have time to start buttoning it up before he's startled into stillness by the feeling of Jack pressing up behind him.
Here, let me help you with that.
Jack's murmur comes right in his ear, prompting a flood of adrenaline through Reese, and a feeling of deja vu as Jack's hands once again land on his hips. Praying futilely that Jack doesn't notice how his dick is hardening a short distance away from his hands, Reese swallows. Reese's mind stutters to a halt when, instead of sliding his own boxers down, Jack instead begins to stroke the skin at Reese's hips, fingers alternating between firm presses and feather-like touches, almost ticklish.
God, you're so damn oblivious sometimes,
Jack hisses, the anger in his voice at odds with the way his hands tug Reese back against him, pushing the borrowed shirt aside to explore the bare skin of Reese's chest.
I'm sorry?
Reese barely has the presence of mind to say, as Jack's fingers flick carelessly over his nipples before sliding back down to press at Reese's stomach, which is unfortunately not as firm or muscled as he'd like it to be, despite what he'd said to Jack earlier.
Yeah, you should be. Seriously, how many friggin' hints do I have to drop? It's like trying to flirt with a rock. Ugh.
Jack turns Reese around and grabs his jaw.
Look, you're hot, and I've wanted to put my dick in you since you came on to me at the bar. Okay, maybe not when you were throwing up all over my house.
Reese scowls because it had been nowhere near all over the house. Excuse you, Jack.
Stop pouting. It's cute, don't get me wrong, but I have a point to make and you're distracting me.
Jack tightens his grip on Reese's jaw, and Reese's lips part at the pressure, tongue darting out to wet his dry lips. He feels a heady rush of exhilaration when Jack's gaze flicks down and his eyes darken.
As I was saying, you, me, doing fun adult things of a sexual nature in a variety of positions and places. Come on, time's a-wastin'.
Jack leans in close, his face almost touching Reese's, eyes flicking back and forth over Reese's face. In lieu of a response, Reese closes the gap between them and presses his mouth against Jack's.
Oh, thank Christ, finally!
Jack snarls against his mouth before kissing Reese in earnest, pushing Reese against the wall of the corridor. The clothes in Reese's hands get dropped, unheeded, to the floor. Reese goes willingly, pulling Jack to him and curling his robotic hand carefully around Jack's neck. His flesh hand goes to grab at Jack's butt, because he has his priorities right. And it turns out to be a great decision, because it makes Jack pause from where he's trying to kiss Reese while undoing his belt one-handed to groan and thrust against him. Grinning against Jack's mouth, Reese grabs at Jack's butt again, relishing the puff of laughter that comes out of Jack.
I get your fascination with my butt, I really do, kitten, but if you could maybe move your hands to more productive ends.
Jack punctuates this by finally getting his belt off, throwing it behind him carelessly before coming back to kiss Reese again, licking into his mouth eagerly. Reluctantly relinquishing his hold on Jack's butt, Reese starts tugging Jack's shirt off with Jack's help, which isn't much considering Jack has rediscovered his favorite spot on Reese's neck and is sucking a new hickey onto it with great gusto. It takes a bit of wrestling and a lot of trying not to collapse because, God, Jack's mouth is hot and wet and biting in all the best ways, but he eventually manages to get Jack's ridiculously long shirt off and onto the floor. They break apart, panting. Reese feels like he must look completely ridiculous now, Jack's shirt unbuttoned and hanging half off his shoulders, still in Jack's stupid stripy yellow boxers, and he knows his hair is a mess without even having to touch it. His only consolation is that Jack looks equally undone, hair mussed, flush coming from behind the edges of his mask to spread down his chest, erection straining at his half-unbuttoned pants, and eyes dilated as he looks Reese up and down.
Oh, kitten, the things I'm gonna do to you.
Jack trails off, reaching forward to tug Reese to him. This time, when their mouths touch, it's shockingly gentle, more like a brush of lips than a kiss. Reese doesn't even get a chance to adjust before Jack suddenly bites his lower lip, almost hard enough to draw blood, and pulls away again with a satisfied expression, eyes fixed on Reese's throbbing lower lip. The fucked up thing, what Reese doesn't want to voice, is that the sharp hurt feels good in a way that he suspects it really shouldn't. But he can't repress the shudder that goes through him, the tremor of want, and he thinks that Jack sees it too, going by the way he grins, vicious and anticipatory.
"Something you want to say to me?"
he asks, and Reese has to close his eyes against the surprised delight curling in Jack's voice. Shaking his head, he tries to grab at Jack, to pull him close again,
but is foiled by Jack's hands coming up to rest, warm and heavy with the promise of threat, at the base of his neck.
Come on, Reese. Don't make me ask you twice.
Jack's voice is coaxing, and his thumbs stroke slowly up and down along Reese's neck, one of them pressing into the already aching hickey laid at its base. Reese swallows and feels the way his Adam's apple moves against Jack's hands. When he opens his eyes, Jack's staring at him expectantly.
Please. Reese exhales. I can't. I've never.
Unable to voice the rest of it, he reaches up and curls his fingers around Jack's wrist, over the tattoo there, tugging it away from his neck. To his mild surprise, Jack lets him, eyes still fixed on Reese's. Taking a deep breath and closing his eyes, unable to believe he's actually doing this, Reese pulls Jack's hand up to his face and slips the first two fingers into his mouth. When he licks along the surprisingly rough pads of Jack's fingers, he can taste traces of the pizza from earlier. Jack's fingers are calloused and heavy on his tongue, and he has to stifle a moan at the feeling. There's no response from Jack, though. Worried and embarrassed, Reese opens his eyes again, only to see Jack's gaze fixed hungrily on his fingers in Reese's mouth, eyes so dilated they're nearly all black. Embarrassed, Reese lets go of Jack's wrist. That's when Jack looks up, and the look in his eyes makes Reese flush all over again.
Oh, you have no idea.
Jack surges forward, fingers still in Reese's mouth, pressing it open, and looks at him, around the fingers. His other hand moves to press Reese against the corridor wall with one palm against Reese's chest. He finally pulls his fingers out of Reese's mouth to pop them into his own, grinning when Reese exhales sharply at the sight.
You and me, we're going to have so much fun. Oh man, have I got plans for us?
He winks at Reese before dropping to his knees and sliding Reese's boxers, well, technically his own boxers, down his hips, tugging Reese's feet up one at a time to get them off.
Oh my god.
Reese stutters, unable to believe that this is real. If it weren't for the fact that he's pretty sure his imagination wouldn't be able to provide such a level of detail, like the curve of Jack's lips as he pulls Reese's dick out, or the way his large hands curl around it, he would swear he's dreaming or having the best hallucination ever. As it is, though, there's really no way any dream of his could have matched up to this, to Jack kneeling in front of him and mouthing along the shaft of his cock, glancing up every once in a while as if to make sure that Reese's attention is fully on him. When Reese hesitantly raises his flesh hand to touch the side of Jack's face, Jack reaches up and takes it, tugging it so it rests in his hair. Smirking up at Reese, he says,
"Pull too hard and I'll bite, and not in the way that you'll like, either."
And sucks Reese down, keeping eye contact the entire time. Reese desperately tries not to come immediately, but it's so hard, both the attempt and his dick, and he has to bite down onto his flesh hand.
Oh god, oh god, oh my god.
He's almost chanting, he's trying so hard not to come just yet. Jack pops off to grin wickedly up at him before going back to sucking, hollowing his cheeks and bobbing up and down in a motion that's invoking all sorts of interesting sensations in Reese's body.
Jack, I'm gonna... Please, I don't want to come yet.
Reese cries out, clutching desperately at Jack's shoulders. Jack's only response is to irritably bat Reese's hands away before grabbing at his hips, hard enough that Reese feels individual points of his fingers and knows that there's going to be bruises there tomorrow. It's a toss-up as to which of those things makes him come. Jack's irritation while having a dick in his mouth, or the knowledge that there will be marks in the shape of Jack's hands, a reminder. But come he does, groaning heavily and slumping against the wall, gasping shakily for breath. Jack, to Reese's surprise, actually swallows before he pulls off with an obscene pop, bringing one hand up to wipe at his mouth, before standing back up and kissing Reese hard, pressing against him with an urgency that belies his casual attitude earlier.
Come on, legs up, bed.
Jack pants against Reese, hands grabbing at Reese's butt and going lower, tugging his thighs up until, with a small heave from Jack, Reese is being carried. At this validation of his suspicion that Jack could fuck him against a wall, Reese's dick twitches with interest, kind of valiantly, considering he just came really hard, but he appreciates the effort. Jack walks the two of them into his bedroom, his hands under Reese's butt gripping tight. Reese makes up for Jack's hands being busy by burying his own hands in Jack's hair, kissing him with open-mouthed fervor. There's something intoxicating about the way Jack's tongue slides against his, the way the clasps of his mask press against Reese's face, and Reese wants more. When they reach the bed, Jack dumps him unceremoniously onto it, provoking an indignant squawk from Reese before he's distracted by Jack shucking his pants and crawling over him. They lie there for a while, Jack slowly thrusting against Reese while he gets back to the hickey on Reese's neck. Reese curls one leg around Jack's thigh, pulling him in close and enjoying the feel of Jack's weight on him.
Crap!
Abruptly, Jack flings himself off the bed and stalks off toward the exit. Confused, Reese pushes himself back up to stare after Jack, but he's quick to return, this time carrying a tube of lube and a packet of condoms.
Sorry, kitten. Forgot to lock and soundproof the doors behind us. Don't want to wake Angel up with your screaming.
Smirking, Jack tosses the lube and condoms onto the bed beside Reese and bounces onto the bed after them.
Picked these up on the way back. Want to show me some of that initiative of yours and get to work?
Jack reclines back on the bed beside Reese, arms folded behind his head. His casual posture is so ludicrously at odds with the erection sticking up that Reese snorts, laughing.
What, see something funny, pumpkin?
Jack scowls, but the side of his mouth is tugging up in amusement, and unable to help himself, Reese bends forward to kiss it, smiling giddily at the thought that he can do this, taste the edges of Jack's lips, and lick into them, searching for the barely perceptible line where the mask transitions into the soft, hot skin inside Jack's mouth. He feels Jack's mouth beneath his turn up in a full-fledged grin, and Jack's hands come up to run along his sides, petting them, almost, before tugging him so that Reese is straddling Jack's hips, feeling Jack's erection press up against his butt. His own dick seems to be slowly coming round to hardness again, and he thrusts shallowly against Jack's stomach as they idly make out. Finally, pulling away with one last lick at Jack's mouth, Reese takes his shirt off completely and tosses it behind him, flushed and pleased when Jack's eyes trace down his naked body appreciatively. When they come up again, they catch on the hickey at the junction of Reese's neck and shoulder, and Jack beckons Reese down with hunger in his eyes. Reese lets out a put-upon sigh, but bends down over Jack, placing his hands on either side of Jack's head. He's expecting yet another sequel to the previous installment of "Let's see how massive I can make this hickey on your neck, ha-ha," but to his surprise, Jack doesn't go back to biting at his neck. Instead, he touches it with one finger contemplatively, glancing up to meet Reese's gaze before going back to staring at it. Reese waits, somewhat confused, but Jack seems content with touching the hickey and staring, even though his erection is still pressing insistently up against Reese. Jack? He asks eventually, when Jack still hasn't moved in a while. Kitten? Jack looks back up. Oh, are you feeling left out? Come here. He tugs Reese toward him and gives him a smacking kiss before shoving him back up so he can sit up as well. He then reaches for the lube and holds it up between their faces.
You want to do the honors, or shall I do it? I promise not to be gentle if you ask nicely and are a very good boy.
Jack says, waggling his eyebrows gleefully at Reese.
You promised to be gentle at the pool, and then right after that you toss me in the water,
Reese points out, but he takes the tube of lube anyway, pushing Jack to lie back down. He squeezes it out on his flesh hand, careful not to get any on his mechanical one, and pauses.
Wait, what do you... should I get off you first, or...
Reese looks down at the lube in his hand in consternation. He hasn't really tried preparing himself while straddling someone else before, for obvious reasons, but it might be weird to get off Jack just to prepare himself and then get back on because he thinks Jack wants him to be on top, but how do you even ask that? Man, this is more complicated than he'd expected.
Huh? Wait, Pumpkin, have you never done this before?
Jack blinks up at him, one hand going to catch Reese's hand as it tilts and threatens to drip lube onto Jack's chest.
Sort of. By myself, but I'm usually on my back because it's easier.
Reese moves to get off, but is stopped by Jack's hands on his waist.
Well, that explains your popping off like a moonshot, and here I was thinking my blowjob skills were just that great. Actually, no, I'm pretty sure I am just that great.
Jack grins at Reese and thrusts his tongue into his cheek obscenely.
Reese rolls his eyes at that and jumps when Jack smacks him on the butt. Don't sass me, kitten. Here, come on, give me some of that.
Jack wipes his left hand along Reese's, scooping up the lube. Reese watches as Jack reaches down, but still finds himself jerking in surprise when Jack slides two slippery fingers between his legs to press against his hole. Shuddering, he leans forward, burying his face in the crook of Jack's neck. Jack's other hand comes up to stroke along his spine, comforting and authoritative in equal measures. The probing fingers rub at his hole in a rhythmic tease for a while, not quite slipping in, and Reese growls into the skin of Jack's neck impatiently when it looks like Jack isn't planning to do anything about it anytime soon.
"Come on, Jack, get with it already,"
he whines, pushing back against Jack's hand. This close, he can feel Jack's laughter rumble through his chest.
"The last time you were this eager, you were drunker than a skag in a barrel. Should I be flattered, pumpkin?"
Sitting up to glare at Jack, Reese reaches down with his still looby hand, pushing Jack's fingers away to slide one into himself without preamble, bending a little awkwardly to be able to reach and wincing past the intrusive feeling.
"No, come on, I was having fun."
Jack grabs his wrist and tugs it away and up behind Reese's back, holding it there with easy strength, ignoring Reese's pout. Reese can't even be mad at the interruption, though, because Jack's other hand goes back to touching him, finally slipping one finger into Reese and stroking at the skin there.
"Someday I want to tie you to my bed with your stupid clip-on ties and watch you go nuts as I take my time opening you up,"
Jack says conversationally, watching Reese's no doubt horribly flushed face with interest.
"How do you feel about that, huh, kitten?"
Jack's tone is so casual that it takes a while for the word's meaning to hit Reese, but when it does, he can't stop himself from thrusting forward, arching against the pressure of his arm held behind his back.
Oh my god.
Reese pants raggedly, clenching and unclenching his robotic hand in the bedsheets. Jack snickers at his reaction, taking the opportunity to slide a second finger in and stroking it in and out with the first. His hand around Reese's left wrist tightens, giving Reese something to pull on as he writhes, trapped between Jack's hands and loving it.
"Your reaction is duly noted, kiddo. Man, this is fun. Why the hell haven't we been doing this from the start? Your fault. I wonder what else you'd like. Spanking? One of my old girlfriends was really into that. Too bad neither of us liked getting spanked all that much. I bet you'd like it, though. Bet you'd cry real prettily and ask for more, until you won't be able to sit down for a week. Wouldn't you, kitten?"
Jack's voice is as casual as ever, and his fingers work steadily at making Reese come undone, but his erection presses up insistently at Reese's back, and the flesh around the edges of his mask has spread halfway down his chest. Whimpering at the mental images Jack's words conjure, Reese nods helplessly, readying forward to press his now very definitely hard dick against Jack's stomach and backward into Jack's fingers. He gasps when a third finger is added, trembling at the feeling of being so stretched, but Jack just continues.
"What if I didn't let you come, though, unless you were a very good boy? What if I leave you hanging there, usually whenever I want, but you aren't allowed to come till I think you've deserved it? And if you do, I won't touch you for a week."
When Reese doesn't respond, too dazed and delirious by the plethora of sensations and images, Jack pulls his fingers out, ignoring Reese's whines as he attempts to thrust back down onto them.
"What's that, kitten?"
Jack's slippery hand goes to slide against Reese's cock and balls, which is great, but really not what he wants right now, not what he needs to salve the empty, hollow feeling in him.
"Ha, Jack, please,"
Reese groans.
"Come on, use your words, I know you can do it."
Jack's voice is low and coaxing.
"I won't, I'll be good, please."
Reese's breaths come out so ragged they almost sound like sobs.
"I won't come until you want me to, I'll be good, just, please, just touch me."
He actually does sob when Jack relents and slides his fingers back in, and that seems enough to spur Jack on, because his movements are no longer so controlled, so casual. It doesn't take long before Jack's got a condom on, and then he's tugging Reese down onto him, and Reese shakes, feeling more full than he's ever been.
"Hold on,"
he gasps, clutching at Jack and the bed with his flesh and robotic hand respectively. Jack pauses and lifts his hands from Reese's hips, going instead to stroke down his back comfortingly.
Shh, it's okay, babe. I got you. Come on now."
Jack's voice is rough, but his hands are firm, and Reese shudders and moves his hands to Jack's shoulders, slowly relaxing and easing himself down until he's completely seated on Jack, who groans through gritted teeth, long and low, but continues to rub at Reese's back and sides. Nodding to himself, Reese takes a deep breath, tells himself he can totally do this, and lifts himself up and slides back down, moaning brokenly at the sensation. Beneath him, Jack's lips are parted, and his gaze flickers across Reese's face and body. Once he's done it the first time, it gets easier, the aching stretch easing off into a slow, throbbing pleasure. He begins to ride Jack, slowly at first, then picking up the pace, relishing the feel of Jack clutching at his hips, where bruises from the blowjob earlier are already beginning to form. The pinpricks of pain only serve to heighten the pleasure, and Reese throws his head back, gasping.
Yes, kitten, come on. God, you're gorgeous.
Jack sits back up to mouth at Reese's chest, peppering it with fierce kisses and tiny nips, his hands never ceasing their petting at Reese. Reese didn't think he had any blood left to spare, but somehow he feels himself flushing at the praise and thrusting down harder, pushing past the trembling in his thighs, eager for more. And with the same uncanny intuition that he's demonstrated so far, when it comes to sex anyway, Jack murmurs into Reese's shoulder,
"That's it, good boy. I've got you. You're doing so good, kitten."
Punctuating it with a sharp exhalation when Reese rolls his hips.
"Oh, Jack."
Reese feels half drunk. He'd say boneless, but it's not really true, because he's somehow still moving, hands on Jack's shoulders, anchoring him while everything else feels like a blur. He's so close again, getting closer with every time he raises his hips and drops them back down, erection bouncing between their bodies, and with every filthy word coming out of Jack's mouth. Part of Reese is thankful he hasn't come again yet, because after the ridiculous record time he'd set with the blowjob earlier, he really doesn't want to embarrass himself again, but he has the feeling he's not going to last very long this time either. That feeling has proved horribly right when Jack brings his hand, covered in fresh lube, when the hell had he done that, to stroke at Reese's dick.
"Come on, come for me. I want to feel you around me when you come."
Jack's words are harsh in his ear, almost a snarl. Crying out, Reese thrusts forward helplessly, torn between moving forward into the slippery grip around his dick and the full aching pressure in his ass. He doesn't manage more than a handful of thrusts before he's coming all over their stomachs, shuddering and gasping Jack's name like a prayer. His entire body is trembling, and he doesn't think he can stay upright, but Jack lets go of his dick to wrap his arms around Reese, snarling and holding him in place as he thrusts up into him. He turns them until he's on top, and grabs Reese's thighs, holding them apart as he drives into Reese relentlessly, sending sparks flickering through Reese's wrung-out body and eliciting whimpers from him. Clutching at Jack's shoulders, Reese clings on and tries to survive the ride, encouraging Jack with open-mouthed kisses against any part of Jack he can reach, the side of his face, his neck, his shoulder. When Reese lifts his head to lick directly at Jack's mouth, Jack groans and his pace stutters as he comes, grinding hard against Reese's ass.
"God, Reese, kitten, babe, you are a delight."
Jack rolls off Reese to collapse beside him, panting unevenly. He pulls the used condom off and tosses it haphazardly off the bed, provoking a grimace from Reese.
"You're not too shabby yourself,"
Reese quips, still dazed from his orgasm, but not so much that he isn't thoroughly enjoying the sight of Jack all sweaty and undone.
"Funny, I am excellent."
Jack doesn't even bother opening his eyes as he flaps his hand in Reese's general direction, but he does grin smugly when his hand manages to smack Reese in the chest, making Reese yelp. Scowling, Reese takes Jack's hand and tries to use it to make Jack smack himself, but that only makes Jack squint open one eye and frown at him before grabbing him and moving him around so his back is to Jack's chest and his hands are held tight to his own chest.
"Stop moving, jeez."
Jack grunts into the back of Reese's neck before nipping him there. Reese jumps at the unexpected bite, but it soon followed up with a comforting lick and a heavy leg coming up to pin his legs down. Weighted down by Jack's arm and leg, and feeling the bone-deep aching satisfaction of having come twice, and really hard, Reese curls against the warmth at his back and falls asleep. An indeterminate amount of time later, he's elbowed out of a strange dream of having sex in a swimming pool. Confused and still half asleep, Reese stumbles out of bed. The sight of a deeply snoring Jack, who's shifted around so that he's now starfishing across the bed, which would explain the throb in his side, sends Reese straight into wakefulness.
"Crap,"
he mouths, panicking. Shit, had he just seriously slept with his boss? His twice-over boss? As he stumbles around the room in his panic, the lights, which had apparently slowly dimmed themselves off after he and Jack had fallen asleep, slowly begin to brighten again.
Oh no, lights off! Off!"
Reese hisses at them, waving his hands frantically in the air. Damn Jack and his stupidly fancy house with its stupidly fancy tech and stupidly fancy lights, which were, yep, still continuing to brighten. Almost hyperventilating in his panic, Reese whirls around before picking up the boxers discarded callously on the floor from earlier, pulling them on as he hops toward the corridor and out of Jack's rooms, praying that the lights will dim when he leaves.
At the door to the living room, he pauses for a while, stymied by the smooth, impervious, and definitely lockless doorknob on it, before remembering that Jack had locked and soundproofed it last night, somehow. Probably with the same weird tech that's on the front door. Frustrated, he jiggles the doorknob as hard as he can, but it refuses to turn.
"Come on, you piece of crap sack tech,"
he whispers frantically at it, and to his amazement, it actually unlocks.
Huh.
Not questioning his stroke of good luck, Reese flees out of the living room, grabs his comm, and trips his way to the front door, where he thankfully knows the unlock and lock codes from Jack being too lazy to see him out every week, and he bolts out, hastily locking the door behind him and running toward the elevators. Somehow, he manages to make his way home without incident, and the time of night means that Vaughn isn't awake to see him creep into their flat in a stranger's boxers. He goes to take a long, hot, and thoroughly deserved shower, and sinks to the floor as the water spatters down on him.
Oh, fuck.